in Nova Scotia, I would be called, if someone asked where I was from, they wouldn't even really wait until I respond. They'd just say, oh, you come from away. You're not from here. And I sometimes feel like that. I live in kind of two worlds. Both my wife and I are both from the East. Our families live there. But we've been in Alberta for some time now. So we straddle the East Coast and Alberta, as many do. And we're happy to do it and blessed to be able to do it. So thank you for the welcome this morning and for the prayer. Good morning, Coaldale Mennonite Church. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. As most of you know, I am the director of Mennonite Central Committee in Alberta. Based in Calgary, it's been over a year since I've been in this role. And following Abe Jansen, who many of you know very well. My wife Jen and I live in Calgary for nearly 4 years now, and I grew up in the Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia. Has anyone ever been out to the Annapolis Valley? Well, you're welcome. If you go, you'll be welcomed with open arms, not by me, but by some who I'm sure I know. My upbringing was quite rural, very close to the Bay of Fundy, and I grew up on a small hobby farm with cows and goats and chickens and other animals. And my father said he wanted us kids to become close to the land, and I'm sure living here in Coaldale, many of you understand what he meant by that. I grew up in the Baptist church community. While there are not many Mennonites on the East Coast, I was fortunate to have a Mennonite brother and sociology professor in Moncton, New Brunswick, named Sam Reimer. That last name is familiar, I'm sure. In Moncton, some years ago now, I attend Foothills Mennonite Church in Calgary, just to give you a little bit of a sense of who I am and where I come from. I've met many in Alberta who I think view MCC as a door with a window to the world. Some cross through the door to the other side, others peer through the window. MCC bridges communities in Alberta with communities all over the world in 55 countries, with many families and individuals working to improve the world in the name of and in the spirit of Christ. I'd like to thank you, people of Coaldale Mennonite, for your support for this global ministry over the years. People from this congregation have been very involved in starting and maintaining the Coaldale Relief Sale beginning in the mid-1970s, partnering with MCC to do refugee sponsorship, volunteering at the MCC thrift shops, serving on the MCC board, and more. I know there are members of Coaldale Mennonite who financially and prayerfully support the work of MCC here in Alberta and internationally, and this is very appreciated by MCC staff and board, but most of all by those who directly benefit from the work of MCC around the world, and I'll share some of those stories with you this morning. So thank you. A couple of years ago, I read Anabaptist Essentials by Palmer Becker. I'm not sure if you've read this book, but I'd recommend it. In this book, Becker details what he considers to be the core essentials of the Anabaptist Mennonite faith with three main ideas. One, he says Jesus is the center of our faith. His life and ministry, death and resurrection, Jesus as Lord, the one who leads us, and Savior, the one who saves us from sin and death. And Jesus as the central lens through which we understand the character and the very nature of God and through who we interpret the scripture. And then he says, two, community is the center of our lives, shaping and challenging and encouraging us. And number three, reconciliation is the center of our work, the shalom building, peace building work that Jesus invites us into with flourishing relationships between us and God, among all people, and between God's children and all of creation. Isaiah's vision, where the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As an East Coaster, I appreciate that image. For me, these three pillars are helpful guides in the life of discipleship that Jesus invites us all into. The foundation of Mennonite Central Committee, beginning nearly 100 years ago, 2020 marks the centennial, is this Anabaptist Mennonite tradition that sees Jesus at the center. This is the spirit through which we do our relief developments and peace-building work in the name of Christ. MCC seeks to share God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice globally. Now in more than 50 countries with many, many people, MCC is doing work like food security and agriculture to help those who do not have enough food to eat and to support livelihoods. Water and hygiene work so communities can have clean water to drink. Education so children can have opportunity to reach their full potential on this earth. Peace clubs and conflict resolution training to help maintain healthy relationships and reduce the threat of violence worldwide. And material aid for communities facing natural disasters or conflict who would otherwise not receive the basic necessities of life. Here in Alberta, we work with refugee sponsorship. In fact, MCC was one of the first signatories with the Canadian government, and Canada is the only country in the world doing private sponsorship of refugees in the fashion that we do. It's a good partnership. Restorative justice with ex-offenders to reduce the rate of reoffense and contribute to integration in communities. Peace-building training with young people, collecting material resources for distribution around the world, and so much more. In doing this work, MCC envisions communities worldwide in right relationship with God, one another, and all of creation. Shalom. As Jesus said when teaching his disciples to pray, on earth as it is in heaven. We heard this morning from Luke 10, a passage that I've spent quite a bit of time in recently. When the expert in the law or the lawyer asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus gives him and us the greatest commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But then this lawyer or expert in the law kind of pushes a little further. So who is our neighbor? The lawyer asks Jesus to define who is meant to be the neighbor, though it seems he really wants Jesus to draw a little line around who we are exactly to love. Perhaps he wanted permission to treat certain people in a less than kind of manner. Who are our neighbors, the expert asks. In keeping with God's vast love for all of creation, the answer is unsurprisingly, everyone is your neighbor. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite passed by the naked, beaten man. And the surprising part here isn't, for me, isn't that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They did what they were supposed to do. They passed by. That was part of the cultural understanding of the day. The surprising part is that the Samaritan does what he really is not supposed to do and what we would hope the Levite and the priest would do. The Samaritan stopped and took care of the physical needs of the stranger. And the man was naked and half dead, likely unconscious. We don't know much about the social class or status or ethnicity or religion of this man. The man is unidentifiable. Luke's man becomes every man, woman, and child made in the image and likeness of God. So if everyone is our neighbor and made in God's own image, how do we love our neighbor? What defines neighborliness? Who was a neighbor to the man, Jesus asks? The one who had mercy on him. Mercy, compassion, is the proof of loving one's neighbor. MCC began nearly 100 years ago with many different Anabaptist Mennonite groups coming together in Canada and the U.S., not sharing identical beliefs, but taking seriously God's call to love the neighbor, to help those who need help, to partner with those around the world who want to be good neighbors too. This is MCC. I'd like to share a few stories this morning from different parts of MCC around the world, stories of neighbors helping neighbors. The church globally is at the forefront of this mission. Some stories of situations where neighbors are not very neighborly at all, all stories that I hope echo the importance of recognizing the image of God in all people, and that also display the importance of acts of mercy and compassion. So let me take you to Uganda. Here is Sister Sophia. Oh, I can see her there too. She's in the blue. Sister Sophia is the headmistress of Stella Matutina Girls Secondary School in Uganda. And I had the opportunity to visit with her about 2 years ago now. And she gave a message that I received, but not just for myself, a message for all of those who support the work of MCC. And I'd like to describe that to you, but first, let me tell you a little bit about Uganda. Uganda in East Africa is about one-third the size of Alberta, but much more densely populated, 195 people per square kilometer. Alberta has 6, Canada has about 4 people per square kilometer. Aside from being a small country with over 41 million people, Uganda borders the DR Congo and South Sudan, and the internal conflict in both of these countries affects Uganda. Paul Collier, economist and the author of The Bottom Billion, might describe Uganda's situation as landlocked with bad neighbors. Quite recently, the refugee camp in Bidi Bidi, Uganda, surpassed the population of Dadaab, Kenya, once the largest camp in the world due to the influx of South Sudanese fleeing violence. Today, Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh is the largest refugee camp in the world. Until about 10 years ago, the Lord's Resistance Army in northern Uganda under Joseph Kony was a rebel military group operating in northern Uganda and abducted many children, young girls, into military activity. These children were child soldiers. Many of the young girls were forced to wed. Sister Sophia here began the school to receive girls leaving the Lord's Resistance Army to help them reintegrate into community and receive a very different opportunity at life. So here's a message from Sister Sophia. She says, "I want to thank all those Mennonite members who support those who are not able to support themselves. Because for the past 17 years since the school started, we have moved with the Mennonites and they have been a great help to us. It's not easy to help a person, but what I've learned about the Mennonites is they have a heart for humanity, and that is a heart for God. It is a heart for helping those in need." Sister Sophia says this about us Mennonites, and I would say the same of Sister Sophia, who together with others began the school to receive these girls. That is a heart for God. We'll go now to the next slide. While in Uganda, we also visited a project called Action for Peace and Development with Bishop Sam of the Baptist Church, coordinating in the Soroti district of Uganda. During the Lord's Resistance Army conflict, civilians were put into camps run by the government. When the fighting ended, people returned home, but with trauma and lacking the necessary skills to have a productive life. This project is helping youth learn how to bud trees and sell these trees in the markets and raise pigs and goats to feed their families. Bishop Sam explained that when people have food and a little bit of money in their pockets, he says, they forget to become rebels. They forget to be violent. And I just loved that, the phrasing he used there. We'll go now to the borderlands. I've had the privilege to visit the borderlands, the Mexico-U.S. border, a number of times. We met migrants, peoples on the move. Many trek through the Sonora Desert out of sheer desperation into the United States, though some do not make the journey. People from Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, and others even from Syria and Congo. Excuse me. We traveled into the desert with an organization that leaves water for these people on the move. But others go into the desert and they poke holes into these containers and watch the water drain into the ground. So volunteers go out daily to make sure that these containers remain full. "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." One young man, about 17 or so, called Emilian from El Salvador, spoke of his journey leaving his mother and brothers to go north. He left because of gang violence and lack of opportunity, instability. Emilian decided to leave to find a better life. He described standing at the border and leaving everything he had ever known behind. This is not just Emilian's story. It's a story of many people on the move for a better future for themselves and for their families, for their children, with more than 68 million people displaced worldwide currently. If we go to the next slide here, in the border town of Douglas, Arizona, Jack and Linda Knox, retired pastors, offer a welcoming place in a land where the fear of the other tends to dominate the minds of many. I visited Jack and Linda's home a few different times, and on my last visit, We went out one morning to pray at the border, hands on the 20-foot-tall steel wall, offering prayers for unity and cooperation and peace. Jack and Linda are perhaps the warmest, kindest people I've ever had the opportunity to meet. They run a hospitality home called Shalom House on the border. And on one occasion, Jack shared what I've come to understand as his deep-seated motivation for living in the borderlands. He says, the opposite of violence is not nonviolence. He says it's hospitality. Hospitality, or love in action for strangers, and yes, even enemies, is woven throughout the Old and the New Testaments. The impulse of hospitality is clearly embedded in the fabric of Mennonite and other like-minded churches, and thus in MCC. If we go to the next slide. Ida Refugee Camp near Bethlehem is a community of about 5,000 Palestinians. Ida Camp formed during the 1948 war when 27 different villages congregated in this area. MCC partners with the Laji Center. Laji means refugee in Arabic. While I was visiting, the MCC worker told me about the summer camp for children that had been growing over the past few years at the center. He said they had between 200 and 160 kids show up to camp last summer. I was curious about the range, so I asked, and the MCC worker explained that about 200 kids showed up on the first day, and they were tear-gassed by the Israeli military, so less children returned for the next day. Ida Camp is known as the most, or if not the most, tear-gassed places in the world. The positive presence of the Laji Center in this context is crucial for the development, spiritual, social, and otherwise, of these young children in Ida Camp. I'm going out to the next slide here. Back in November, I traveled with a group of Albertans to visit MCC partners and program participants in Nepal. Many of you will remember that in 2015, a powerful earthquake ripped through Nepal, killing nearly 9,000 people and injuring many more. This was devastating for many, and I heard some of my Nepali colleagues describe where they were and what it was like to be part of that experience. And this was incredibly difficult for the poor. MCC has been very active in helping to provide relief and rebuilding assistance to those in need, mostly in rural Nepal, reconstructing homes, installing water systems, supporting sustainable livelihoods like goat farming. This very colorful woman here is named Santa Maya, and her and her family are directly benefiting from access to clean water, standing next to a tap that MCC and an MCC partner installed. Access to clean water was severely limited in this village of Tenpuri when all the water sources dried up after the earthquake. So this tap was constructed in 2018, and there are over 20 other taps like this in the surrounding area in the Okaldunga district. One of the most powerful experiences I've ever been a part of was in a community with a water tap just like this one, surrounded by garlands of marigolds, as we gave thanks and had a ceremony before the tap was turned on and the community was able to access all of this clean water. Next we have Nimti, a goat farmer, who is supported by MCC, on the next slide here, with 5 goats following the earthquake. Nimti turned these goats into 60,000 rupees, or $600 US, last season. I met her after she traveled about 3 hours up and down the hillside to come and visit our group. We had a meeting. The meeting was about an hour, and she traveled 6 hours round trip to come and spend time with us. And in this photo here, she is thanking the group. She is thanking you. She is expressing her gratitude for what she's able to do with these goats and what the community is able to do with these goats because of the work that's happening there. She's an incredible woman. Next here, we'll go back to Uganda. Through MCC's partner churches and organizations, MCC is helping more than 43,000 children worldwide access education. On one school in Uganda, there's a sign etched in my memory and on the building that reads, "Education is an investment." It's an investment in the lives of children and their families, and the impact spreads far beyond any one individual. But for that individual, it means hope in a future that might not otherwise have been possible. This group of students, part of a peace club in Uganda, greeted us Canadians with a lively song, clapping together and moving to the rhythm. The lyrics went something like, "My name is George," or "My name is Esther, and I will be a doctor or a teacher or a pilot because my parents sent me to school, because my parents sent me to school." This is hope. 13-year-old Sharon in Uganda is never far from my mind when thinking about education work. Her mother and father died with HIV, and she now lives with her aunt. And her aunt is unable to work because she also has HIV. But MCC is able to support Sharon to gain an education, and she's climbed to the top of her class. The headmistress of the school told me this story as Sharon was standing beside us, and just a remarkable person. We'll go two slides ahead. So just the next one here. I just want to skip to Father Lucas Awad. Father Lucas Awad is a Syrian Orthodox priest and a friend to MCC Alberta. He visited us here last spring. He spoke of the current realities in Syria. The war is in its eighth year, and there is still much suffering. He described the shelling and the fighting. He also spoke of the church's resolve to support the vulnerable in that context. With very limited resources, MCC continues to work with the Syrian Orthodox Church and the Middle East Council of Churches to provide basic necessities and to rebuild. One of Father Lucas's final words to MCC staff in Calgary that stuck with me as he's left was this. He says, "Jesus is hope, but not by himself, but through the people." God often chooses to work through his people to bring about change, to bring about opportunity, to bring about hope in a broken and hurting world. And Father Lucas knows that probably better than anyone I know. Reflecting on these stories of individuals and communities working together to improve the world, we see the church shedding truth of God's love for their neighbors in their own contexts and in their own ways. These examples remind me of Jesus' call for all of us to recognize the image of God in every person and to be a good neighbor, to show compassion and to show mercy. And we can learn much more from Luke 10. Jesus made the Samaritan the hero, highlighting the tensions between Jews and Samaritans of the day and breaking down these cultural barriers. The Samaritan in Luke 10 was not afraid to get involved. He ignored racism. He had resources and was generous. In telling this story, Jesus blurred the social norms of the day to move toward a greater place of love for God and love for neighbor. The heart of God is a heart for humanity, as Sister Sophia reminds us from Uganda. I'll end with this. In Matthew 25, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus says in my paraphrased version, "I was a hungry, thirsty stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. You gave me food, water, and welcomed me. You gave me clothing, cared for me, and you visited me while I was in prison." We will ask, "Lord, when did we do these things for you?" And the answer will be, "Whenever you did for the least of these, for those who are in need, you did for me." This is God's heart for the naked, beaten man in Luke 10, for our brothers and sisters in Mexico and Palestine and Israel and Uganda and Nepal and Syria and our neighbor right next door. Jesus invites us to actively follow him into the fullness of life on earth as it is in heaven. What is the greatest commandment? The sum of every previous law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. May we go and do likewise. Amen.